We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, I'm so excited, maiden journey on the program, friend of mine from NBA Twitter, one of the best people around the Denver Nuggets, TJ McBride. What's up, man?
Thank you for having me on and the gracious introduction. I very much so appreciate it, even if it's a little bit of a lie, but it's okay.
I'll take
what I can get out of this.
TJ is one of the best around, and if you need anybody to cover this NBA Finals, look no further than this man who knows the Denver Nuggets as well as really anyone this side of Zach Lowe. So, TJ, let's just get into it. We did our preview yesterday with Brady Hawk of Five Reasons, one of the best young writers in America right now covering sports. We kind of previewed what Miami's going to do on offense against Denver. Now let's look at what they're going to do on defense, because I think really the entire series is going to branch out on how Miami is going to defend the two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic. TJ, Spo loves to front. This has been a thing since the Roy Hibbert series. Spo is like, we're always small. He's the plankton thing from SpongeBob. I can deny it no longer. I'm small. And they've always solved that problem. And you saw a lot against Embiid. Mm-hmm. Front, help, recover, swarm. That does not work against Jokic.
No, it does not. And especially if what power forward is going to be starting? Who are you going to put on Jokic to front him? Because if you're doing it with Bam, you're defeating the purpose because you no longer have the rim protection behind you in the first place. So is it Caleb Martin? Are you dusting off Kevin Love? Like, what is the option here? Hayward Highsmith? Like, I don't know what the thought process is to try and front like that, to try and put a small on Jokic and create a, you know, levels of bodies for him to get through in order to get to the rim. I don't know if you can do that as the Heat. And that really is going to put a damper on their optionality going into the series to limit Jokic. They don't have enough buttons to press, per se.
I think they're going to start the matchup straight up. I think they're going to start too. Bam on Jokic. And I will say, Embiid eventually for us, and listen, everybody knows that I make fun of Embiid relentlessly. But Embiid, yes, exactly. But Embiid, at one point, they could not front him anymore because they made enough passes. Harden made enough good entry passes where Bam went to Eric Spoelstra and said, I want this assignment one-on-one. And what Miami would do is send late help, not early help. They have Bam one-on-one, fight him off position, and then send late help. And I think they're going to do something similar to Jokic. I think probably Caleb Martin starts. I'd be surprised. And that's going to be something we're going to watch out for, because we'll talk about kind of Love in a bit, because Spo did mention there's a space for Kevin Love and Cody Zeller in this series. But to keep it on Jokic, I think it's going to be one-on-one coverage with Bam. They're going to shade help from the nail. You know, hopefully it's Jimmy Butler. That's his best spot. Obviously, Denver can manipulate that some. I imagine Jimmy's going to be on Aaron Gordon, who is not the best shooter. And he's the guy I think you're most comfortable helping off of.
Yeah.
And I just think they're going to start like that, and they're just going to send kind of late help shade, and they're going to have to hope Jimmy is a demon in the passing lane to try to force some turnovers or at least make Jokic think a little bit.
They're going to have to mix everything up. Where you send the doubles from, if you're going to. Where you're going to send the help from. Are you going to do it two passes away? Or are you going to surprise him one pass away? Are you going to come from a blind spot? Or are you going to try and do it, obviously, to force him to make a decision quickly? There are so many ways that they're going to have to do it. You will not be able to run the same defensive set more than three times in a row, or Jokic will end you. It just, he's the best problem solver I've ever seen on a basketball court, including LeBron James. He takes him minutes to realize what the counter is and go for it. And the Jimmy Butler on Aaron Gordon thing's interesting, because all the Nuggets are going to do is say, fine, you want to do that? We'll put Aaron Gordon in the corner and we'll let him crash down as an offensive rebounder, because then Jimmy Butler won't be able to box out. Then you have to find an extra help that's already coming down. So then Aaron Gordon cuts are going to develop gravity to open up three-pointers for guys like Michael Porter Jr. There's already three counters baked into that strategy for the Nuggets. And this has been the big trend for the Nuggets offense all throughout the postseason. No matter what counter you have, the Nuggets just have more of them. There are just more buttons to press. There is more optionality. There are more punches to be thrown. And a lot of these teams that the Nuggets have faced have been somewhat hampered, whether it's injury, whether it's inexperience together, whatever it might be. They just don't have that level of comfort to be able to do that. I can't wait for this series for that reason, because Eric Spoelstra is going to pull out some magic. I don't know what it's going to be. He knows more than any of us combined do, and he's going to find something. I just don't know what that is. I've watched every single game for 3 years of Nuggets and Heat basketball. I went through the Facu Campazzo film. Like, I've seen it all. There's just nothing that I've seen that they can do. And I agree with you. I think they're going to start playing Jokic straight up. I think they're going to try and outshoot Denver from three and trade threes for twos. I think that's their only initial starting point that makes sense until things start to evolve throughout the series. But I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. I really, really don't.
TJ, can we take a second to appreciate that a lot of these regular season matchups are injured or on either team?
All
on
of them.
Bro, I watched
all of them.
That was an Orlando Robinson, Haywood Highsmith, and Bouye lineup against Denver. And I was like, who? And Caleb Martin looked like crap. And I was like, who are you people?
Oh, and the Nuggets are starting Vlatko Chanchar
and
Bruce Brown. And they were all a mess. Like, the December game this year was probably the most helpful.
Yeah, that
was
the one in
Denver. Because at least
Denver
was healthy. Yeah. But, man, Tyler Hero looked rough in that game, getting just targeted once after, one time after another. So it's going to be fascinating. There's not a whole lot of film to work from. There's not a whole lot of experience. This Miami Heat team is nothing like a regular season game. They're going to be an entirely different animal in this finals than Denver has ever seen from them. So I just can't wait to get it going, because we can talk about all these things all we want. We need to see how Spoelstra is going to adjust. That is going to be the key of this series.
I think they're going to show him different looks, like you said, every time. Because
every time.
I think the best analog is LeBron and Luka, where they just, I've seen this twice. I got it. Right. And it's just like, it's just quick. Oh, I know, you're not beating, because guys like that can shoot pass and do all that stuff. It's like impossible, especially at the size of Jokic. I think the other problem that Jokic presents is in pick and roll. Cause a lot of people think of kind of Jokic at the elbow, Jokic at the high, mid and low post. But obviously in pick and roll with Jamal Murray as a popper, I think Kevin Love does not have the foot speed. If they do choose to opt for Kevin Love on, because a lot of people are trying to, okay, well, can we replicate what the Lakers did a little bit, which kind of put Jokic on kilter, which would be, all right, Kevin Love on Jokic, Bam on Aaron Gordon, Bam comes to help. But I think the problem there is then you just put Kevin Love in pick and roll. He has to hard show on Jamal Murray. And I just think Jokic as a popper is not something that Miami has, like a popping big man is not something that Miami's had to deal with. No disrespect to Al Horford. The Heat were just not caring if he shot threes or not. And Brook Lopez, they were letting him shoot all the time. That was part of the game plan. I think that Jokic is a better shooter. And maybe that would be the game plan. Maybe Miami's like, hey, man, if Jokic wants to shoot top of the key threes, that's fine. TJ, it's pick your poison.
It is. But Jokic is shooting, let me see here. I have it pulled up.
I mean, Lopez was a really good shooter.
7.4% from three. Just completely abnormal numbers. And I think the other problem with that is I think Miami's only chance of really keeping up scoring is to be able to outscore them from three. You can't give Denver open threes if you're trying to trade twos for threes. I think they're going to need to run him off.
That's actually a good
and try
point.
And get him into that mid-range, that deep mid-range, in order to have the math problem work for them. Because I don't know how else they can do it. And, you know, the one thing we haven't talked about that I'm sure we're going to get to is how they're if Miami will be able to play zone. And, man, that's a scary proposition for Miami as well. So I think that again, this is the ultimate problem. No matter what you try and take away, Jokic has three other ways to hurt you.
So we'll get to the zone stuff in a second. I'm just not I'm not a big proponent of Love. I'm not of Zeller either. I actually, and I've been on record, I've wanted Highsmith to start over Caleb Martin for a long time.
I think he will make a lot of sense, and he played well against Denver. He has regular,
and he had reps well on Jokic where. Yep. Listen, he's small.
And he had reps on Jamal Murray, so you can switch that action if you need to, like Miami's done so much in these playoffs.
Yeah, I just think that he's probably – I don't think they do it, and that's not a Spo thing to do. But I think Highsmith makes sense for this series because of what you said, kind of the switchability. And I just think they want to give him different looks and different kinds of help and stuff. I mean, he's going to be the MVP. It's not like he's going to average 50, 30, and 20. You know, they're going to have other ways to do it, but he's obviously at the center – of what they do, and they don't have a good solution for it. I do think sending late help, mixing up your timings of help, you know, you want to pick apart passes. You want to make sure that you're very, you know, keen on the uptake on all the back cuts that Denver does, because Denver moves as well as Miami, if not better, off the ball. And I think you can kind of, I mean, really, I think if you're the Heat, your win condition on defense is we got to force turnovers and stuff like that. I want to ask you a question before we move on from Jokic. Do you think it behooves Miami to make Jokic a scorer and be like, hey, man, you can go one-on-one with Bam. We'll send the late help, but we're not focusing everything on you because we're not going to let you get in a passing rhythm and pick apart the shooters. Do you think that Miami has a bit – because Miami does take more threes than Denver, which that actually surprised me. And in the playoffs, the Heat have upped their three-point attempt. So where would you say to something like that?
I agree. I think that that's going to be exactly what happens. And I think that what they're going to try and do is say, we're going to let you score, we're going to contest your shots, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure they're two-point shots. And if we're going to let you get those shots off, we're going to contest them as much as we can and get in your face. Because you have to be able to win the three-against-two battle. You need to score threes while Denver scores twos. I don't know how else Miami can keep up with Denver. They're just too good of an offense when they're flowing. So I think if you can shut off Jamal Murray by putting Jimmy Butler on him in high leverage situations, and you can find a way to make life annoying for Michael Porter Jr. and don't give him any clean looks, then all of a sudden you're in a spot where Nikola Jokic is like, all right, I have to go do this work, and he's going to want to do it in the post. So when that happens, that gives Miami an opportunity to then run their own offense on the other end, get their own pace into the game, and try and outscore them from three. I really think that's the only way to begin for Miami. So I do think it's going to be make Nikola Jokic to score at all costs, because if you let everyone else get going, there's no stopping this offense.
Chad is saying that you're giving the Heat no chance.
I actually picked the Heat in six because I have so much respect for Spo and for Jimmy Butler. I think that they're going to find a way to steal a couple, but the schematics of this are just so uncomfortable with how bad it's going to be for Miami, in my opinion.
I think, funny enough, I think that Jokic as a low post passer is much less dangerous than Jokic at the elbow and Jokic at the wing. And I, a lot of the film, I thought Bam did a good job of pressuring Jokic at the wing. Like pressure, I mean, obviously Jokic is going to make those passes, but they kind of did a good job of pressuring at the wing. But really, I think when he's deep in the low post, and I do think they can manipulate something, but he can hit the turnaround or, and he could, you know, he has a lot of range there. I think they're almost better off kind of making him a scorer. And get, as you said, he's going to want to do it in the low post and then start mixing in some late help and stuff to throw him off a little bit. Of course, they don't have the side. I think Jimmy's going to have to be that help man because of how good he is in the, like, forcing passes and stuff. I think Lowry is another guy who's really good at kind of getting steals off those kinds of situations. Of course, he's very good, but I kind of think that's their best bet against him. Unless Bam just summons something that, you know, we haven't seen yet.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I mean, Bam's a top three defender in basketball for me, so I think that Bam has most of the skills, but once Jokic gets moving with momentum towards the rim, yeah, there's just nothing that Bam can do. Jokic is just too wide and too strong and has too good of touch. He can move him where he wants to, despite how absolutely dominant Bam has been at so many other moments against so many other bigs. This is an unsolvable problem for everybody in the league. This isn't just a Heat problem. Like, you can't overcome somebody who has so many counters for you. It's why the Nuggets have waltzed their way through the Western Conference in so many ways.
Let's shift gears a little bit to Jamal Murray. And I liked what the guys on the Dunker Spot said, shout out to Nikias and Steve Jones, where, you know, Steve asked the question and Nikias is like, well, like, do you focus your kind of defensive gearing toward Jamal Murray? Kind of be like, okay, Jamal, and like Denver, for as good as Jokic is, like Denver in the playoffs last season without Jamal Murray, you know, like it they just did not have enough, right? And I know that Michael Porter is not shooting too great in this postseason. Obviously, he's a very good shooter at very good size, so you know, you kind of expect him to eventually get going. But if you can, if you're Miami and you're like, well, we can switch some of those. I mean, switching is kind of a scary proposition against Jokic, which we've talked about. But again, if you switch, then you can front and then send the help. And then again, we're talking about mixing in different looks. But where do you stand on being like, okay, well, we're going to make sure that we're going to show bodies at Jamal. The help at the nail is going to be swift. It's going to be big. We're going to force him into some tough looks.
I'd be worried if I was a Heat fan of Jamal Murray getting off-ball screens from KCP and getting Duncan Robinson on him whenever he gets a chance to. Whenever there is going to be a weak link out there defensively.
Well, Duncan's like not a high-minute. He's not a high-minute.
He's going to have to be. They need the scoring from him.
I think like you can. They'll deal with Strus and Lowry. I think if Duncan's really a problem. Yeah, I mean, he's not like a Spo favorite. And in the playoffs,
of course, but again, like, they're running out of guys at that point, though, right? I mean, if Kyle Lowry isn't giving you the minutes that you need and he has one of those moments,
Vincent is another guy. I think they have enough guards that if like the Duncan getting hunted is a problem, they can be like, okay, well, we'll go with Strus or we'll go with Lowry and Gabe. I mean, they've liked the Gabe Lowry backcourter, or like, I think their most of their high minute combinations are with Strus on the floor.
That makes a lot of sense. But I do think that this is going to be a big Jamal Murray series. He has to be able to bend the defense to pull some attention off of Nikola on his own, creating his own shot, whether it's side pick and rolls with Aaron Gordon to try and create a different look and attack a non-Bam side of the floor, whatever it might be. They're going to need to find a way to get Jamal Murray going. It's going to be tough, though, because I think the Miami, like you said, is going to do a lot to be able to try and limit Jamal, because they do have enough bodies to at least put big guys on him, keep pressure on him, not allow him to get into the paint unless he's getting screens from Jokic. And then you're always going to send help to that two-man game anyway. So I do think that they're probably going to begin that way, which is like we were talking about, defend Jokic one-on-one early on, try and cut off everything else and make Jokic the scorer and kind of muck up the game. And when you can do that, then you can start to control the pace, then you can start to get out and transition off misses, and you can set your defense against a very slowed down Denver team. So that makes a lot of sense to me from the Miami point of view. I just don't know how easy it's going to be to limit a guy who's averaging, what, 27.7 points a game right now on 48, 40, 90 shooting.
Yeah,
like, that's just an incredible, difficult task. I don't know if they're going to have the guys to be able to pull it off.
So I think Bam in a drop, as counterintuitive that sounds, I bet they start that way. I bet either...
I agree.
Caleb, if they start Martin... I mean, he does a good job on guards because he's a little bit longer. I think the sneaky thing with Caleb is he's not as good on power wings, but he's really good on guards. Like they use Caleb is like the Steph Curry defender for Miami, right? Like that's who they like on guys like that. So I see Caleb kind of doing that, can keep up athletically.
Do you think he starts then?
I think they start him. I think that they just need to play their three best players. I think I tweeted earlier that Miami's three best of Bam, Jimmy, and Caleb Martin, they're like plus, I'm pulling up the stat right now. Yeah, the three of them, they're plus 17 net rating in 251 minutes versus Jokic, Porter, and Murray, which are plus 15 in 384 mm-hmm. minutes. So they don't play the Caleb lineup. That's like their fifth most used trio behind like Strus and Gabe with the two starters. Yeah, but I think part of that was he's a reserve. You know, so I imagine they're going to start him just because it was so successful. And I think you're going to need your three best guys. They have a 98 defensive rating with those three guys. I think that this is obviously going to be the test. Jokic has a 124 offensive rating with those other two guys.
Yes.
So it's really high. I think that's going to be the test. But yeah, I think that that's kind of where you'd go if you're Miami. You kind of like, okay, well, let's slow Jamal. Let's show bodies. I think they're going to be fine with a lot of Denver's off-ball movement. I think that they've been pretty good at dealing with that in the postseason, and I just think the Heat are going to be prepared. I think SPO teams are going to be prepared for stuff like that. Obviously, guys are going to break free and shit for sure, but I that part I'm not too worried about. The other thing, TJ, is, you know, I think KCP is going to be a guy that I think is going to be pretty important for Denver because he can run action off a handoff, some side pick and roll stuff. And again, like they're going to be possessions where they have Duncan Robinson out on the court with him. I'm sure that he's stuff like that. So that's a guy that I worry about a little bit. If I'm Miami, you know, he can shoot well. He's also a very good movement shooter. He's a guy that he's going to be the beneficiary of the overloaded kind of side of Miami's floor for Jokic and Murray.
I agree. The other part that I cannot get out of my head is how are they going to be able to match up with the two wings of Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. with so much attention being given to Nikola Jokic and Jamal? One of those two is going to have some type of mismatch that they'll be able to take advantage of.
I think they're okay if Gordon. If Gordon is like hubbing your offense, I think they live with that.
Well, he wouldn't be hubbing. It would be more of Gordon can get down and seal smaller guys or attack them if they're slower, if it's a Kevin Love.
I think that they're okay with that.
Caleb Martin is... You think so?
I mean,
that's a scary proposition.
They were with Lopez doing it. Like, they did it to Lopez, and they're like, okay, well, yeah, you go do that. Like, you know, we'll send help. We'll be fine. And they've done it. I mean, they did it to Lopez. I mean, and that's like a SPO thing. So they're like, well, if this guy's going to beat us, fine. Like, obviously, they're, you know.
You have to pick a poison somewhere.
I'd feel differently if they had PJ Tucker because I thought the Sixers. Doc Rivers did one good thing in his life. And Keith's done a couple. I joke.
A couple.
Yeah, just a few. But I thought PJ on Jokic was really smart because then you can send Embiid, who's a big body. Yeah. Miami doesn't have that luxury. They don't have kind of big wings. They could try, like I said. Well, we don't have to revisit the Jokic stuff, but just kind of a thought. So those are kind of the matchups I look at. The zone, TJ. So Denver, very notably, very good against the zone.
Very
I think
good. Against
they'll
the
play
zone.
Some of it. When Jokic is on the floor, I don't think they'll play a lot. I think they'll show looks, and I think they'll disguise it. Because, like, now, like, when they full court press – well, I mean, they full court press a lot. But, you know, it's, like, pretty obvious. Like, okay, well, they're pressing on both sides. Like, they're going to sink into the zone. I think that they'll kind of sneak it a couple times. Jokic might not see it two times in a row, but I think a lot of it they'll run with the bench, like when Jokic sits.
Yeah,
and it's
that's
like,
what I was thinking.
It's like Gordon and Jeff Green, and then you can kind of, hey, can Duncan Robinson survive and maybe give us enough offense in these Jokic? Although Denver's plus three with Jokic on the bench, which I think is probably really huge for them.
It is, but also they've played some very bad benches. Like the Suns had nothing.
Yeah, the Lakers.
And the Lakers were very, very thin.
I have negative respect for the Lakers. You know that.
That's
yeah.
fine. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But I do think that the bench has been a positive for the playoffs so far. I do not believe it'll be that way in this series. I think the Heat are going to do everything in their power to just steal every bit of energy from that game when Jokic is not on the court and play a lot of that zone, keep everything in front of them, swarm to guys knowing that they don't have the creators off the bench and they don't have the passers in the middle of the floor. So I do think that makes a lot of sense. But also if Bruce Brown decides I'm just going to barrel into the paint every single time, they might be able to create offense just literally off of that. So I think that's going to be a very tough spot for Denver to score is off the bench. They just don't have the horses. And I wonder if they're going to do if they're going to play Murray with the bench like they have so much of this postseason.
That's what I kind of envisioned.
I do too, but I think the zone is going to hurt Murray more than almost anybody because if he's tired
of
playing,
that would be the target.
That's when you're like, we're just going to swarm. We're going to make this as difficult as possible. So I do think that the bench is going to struggle in the series for Denver, and it's going to give the Miami Heat a chance to at least slow the game back down, make it ugly, and take back that momentum for themselves and play their style of basketball.
Not to veer into too much offense, but like, yeah, and that's another reason why, you know, we talked with Brady about how I think attacking Jokic is important because you want to hopefully get, you know, one of his games where he's a little handsy and maybe he could pick up a foul that maybe it was ill-advised and you can keep him on the bench for five more minutes because sometimes, I mean, we saw in game six, Cody Zeller, 2 minutes minus seven. Sometimes that's just the game. So if you're Miami, I think those minutes without Jokic are huge. I envision a lot of like Murray, Green, Gordon plus whatever second Bruce, whatever couple of second unit guys that they have. And then Miami probably goes Jimmy. I mean, they usually sit Bam. I bet they'll sit Bam when Jokic sits and they'll go like Jimmy. I don't know what they're going to do as their backup five. I pray to God it's Highsmith. And I think this is actually the series where you can do Highsmith as backup five.
Highsmith makes a lot of sense. Well, because Aaron Gordon's the backup center.
Yeah, exactly.
Nuggets,
it's
so
him or Jeff Green. I don't know what they qualify
well, it's just,
as.
At that point, pick whoever you feel like calling that guy.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's like that makes sense. It's like, okay, well, we don't have to play Zeller and Love now. We have the out. You know, it wasn't like against Boston where you get fucking, oh, I got to play this guy against Rob Williams. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
On
the foul trouble comment, and it's like the idea of Jokic getting a little handsy and trying to draw him into some dumb ones. If I'm the Heat, I am randomly throwing Kyle Lowry on Jokic. And
oh, dude, that's my move, baby.
And bothering every little bit of him as you can. Jokic hates being defended by smaller guys. He knows that he is not allowed to play with the same physicality, and he does anyway out of pure spite and anger and then gets mad at officials every time that it gets called. I'd be switching Kyle Lowry onto Jokic if he's in there with the bench at all.
Flop.
Often as I can.
Maximum
I want
grift.
All six fouls used up of Kyle Lowry if I am the Heat. And I think that's a really, really nifty way to bother Jokic and get under his skin. I don't think it'll work that great. I think the Nuggets are a little too locked in and Jokic knows that is exactly what the goal of that is. So I'm sure he'll come into this knowing that Kyle Lowry is going to try and get under his skin. But that's something I would be trying to steer into a little bit if I'm Miami.
I love Lowry and everybody knows I'm the Kyle Lowry
I love Kyle Lowry.
I love Kyle, and I think his work as a low man this season, particularly on big guys, is really good. He's very sneaky. Jokic is incredibly aware, but he's very sneaky, and he'll get turnovers. He can force the ball out. You know, he's just really good. He's just, you know, he's just so good in those like kind of weird in between spots, and it's like he just kind of comes out. And sometimes
it's the savvy vet. I'm a reach anyway, knowing that you're not going to call the foul on the small guy in the post with Jokic on him. So I'm just going to bang with him, and I'm going to cause every little bit of terror that I can.
I think they're going to switch a lot of that a couple times to see like what they can get. I agree with you. We talked about the zone and kind of where they go with that. I think kind of Jimmy. I think it's going to be interesting where they put Jimmy. I imagine it's going to be on Aaron Gordon. I think he'll see a lot of time on Murray as well. And they're going to show Murray
totally agree.
Different defenders because Murray's a great player, so you have to show him. I believe they'll switch that some. I think if Jimmy or Highsmith is also like a really good kind of guy on smaller perimeter guys. I think if you put kind of Jimmy or Highsmith on that, you're okay switching the Jokic thing because then you just kind of send the help. And again, Miami's going to be in rotation. Like, we know that. Can they keep up? And that we all know the questions about that. But I do think they're going to show kind of Murray all these kinds of bodies. I think they'll see traps, and I think they'll try to make him so that he can't get that pocket pass to a rolling guy or a popping
guy. But you
guy.
Can't set that trap at the top of the key.
No, you can't send it early either.
Him on the side.
Yeah. I think that they learned their lesson. They did it. That's one of their bad regular season habits, where they trap early at the top of the key. They've not done that. They tried it against the Knicks, because I was thinking about this when I was at the gym today.
Well, the Knicks, you just want them getting downhill and making.
Well, not even that.
That helps you.
I was thinking, I was like, man, the Heat really had to go through like this incredibly tough path to get to the finals. They had to play the Bucks and the Celtics, the 1 and 2 seed. And I was like, oh, and the Knicks were there. And I go, the Knicks were kind of like their first round matchup, but it happened second. Like, you really think about it.
It felt like the third play-in game that came a week and a half late. Like, it definitely didn't feel like that kind of a series. Like, it's funny. I keep removing that series when I talk about the Heat's shooting percentages, because they just didn't need to shoot threes in that series. So you could almost throw it out entirely.
It was the only series TJ had thought they'd win. That was the only series I was like, no, we got this.
Honestly, on paper, you're 1,000%
right. It's just the Knicks.
God, I'll let Julius Randle shoot forever. This is totally fine with me. Oh, God.
They love, man.
But
they,
going back to the zone, you cannot play it against Jokic, though.
I think you can play it a lot.
I don't think so.
I don't think they can play it a lot. And they're, listen, they're.
Did you look up the Nuggets numbers against the zone?
I think it's like 1.16 PPP or something.
Yeah, 1.16 points per possession, 56% from the field, and 45% from three, with an 8.3%.
Their regular season zone, TJ, has been different than their postseason zone, because they've gone back to the wings at top, because that's what they did 2 years ago when they were the one seed. They had that, and even before that when they had Derrick Jones Jr., the zone god, as I call him, where they kind of put those big wings at top. And really the point is to pressure the pass to the middle. Yeah. Obviously, like, Denver's not the Celtics. They're not, you know, the Celtics have kind of bonehead in them. You know, Denver's not like that. Arguably, Denver doesn't have as much depth as Boston, but obviously, like, at the top, you have a jiggly supercomputer that rides that rides horses, and the other one is the father of Deuce Tatum.
And I think it's interesting too, the Nuggets have known forever that teams are trying to stop Jokic, so the entire team has gotten significantly better at post-entry passes. They know how
the
to get
lost
a pass
art
over
TJ
the
of the post-entry pass.
It is Michael Malone for like 4 years took every opportunity and every media availability he could to scream about how bad post-entry passes are in the NBA.
Why does he
nowadays.
Not like being called Mike Malone?
Because his mother named him Michael, and that is the end of the conversation.
Really? Okay.
So it's Michael Malone.
I never
it's
knew
because
he would. I remember one day it was just like he was.
I asked him personally once.
He was very.
Exactly
he
told me.
Yeah, he was very. I like Michael Malone. He's a very
Malone. Was
he's
a
Heat
gift
guy,
from
dude.
A journalism
he,
god.
He has a little bit of Heat culture in him.
So, Jonathan Jarks was a close friend of mine. Rest in peace to one of the greatest people that's ever been in sports journalism. Absolutely phenomenal human. But I remember asking him probably 4 or 5 years ago who Michael Malone's kind of like ultimate head coach that he could become. Like, what's the archetype he's looking to get into? Like, what is that elite level? And the first thing out of Jarks's mouth without any hesitation was Spoelstra. He was like, that's the guy he reminds me of.
He just
can't argue with him.
Gives me he does. They have that toughness. They have that no bullshitness about them as a team. I actually like,
and the hunger. They both like Michael Malone's working at Foot Locker and coaching college basketball at the same time, just like Spoelstra was working in a video room with no windows for hours on
did
end.
Did you
like,
see
they
that
both
today?
Had to fight for this.
They put that picture of Spo in the video room. It's black and white, and Malika Andrews was talking to him. And Spo's like, "I'm not that old."
Just because you put black and white on it doesn't mean it was Spo, the 1600s. Spo's like, "What are you doing?"
Bro, that did you see that Spo quote today? And they asked him about the altitude, and he's like, "We could tip this off from Everest. I'm down." I was like, "Yo, Spo's about that action, bro." I had Solomon Hill on the podcast like 2 weeks ago, Heat legend Solomon Hill, and I asked, "I go, Solomon, who's the craziest guy on the team?" And he goes, "Oh, it's Spo." I'm like, "Spo?"
Yeah.
He's like, "No, not no doubt." He's like, "You think Jimmy's wild?" He's like, "You don't know like what Spo's like. He's about that."
Yeah. And that's exactly how Malone is, too. I'll never forget Malone being like, you know what? If we're really going to want to defend and I'm going to yell about you not defending well, I'll just defend in practice. And he went out there and was like, come on, Jamal, and got in a defensive stance and bodied him up a little bit. Like, these guys both know what it takes, and they're about the shit.
They got a little crazy in them.
You have to have a little crazy in you. I mean, both these guys are in the finals now because they got a little crazy in them.
That absolutely. TJ, I want to kind of ask you some kind of other things about Denver. And what are examples that you've seen where teams have been most successful in defending Denver? What do you – because, I mean, obviously the Lakers, you know, Anthony Davis is a special kind of guy. Eventually, Jokic was able to solve that. It didn't look great, and I know that they – I mean, some of those games in Denver were pretty close to a team that – it's not that good, but obviously Anthony Davis and LeBron James are – Anthony Davis and LeBron James. What are, you know, what are some teams or some schemes that you would be like, huh, that was kind of pretty effective against Denver? And then we can kind of get to like how Miami can best try to replicate that.
Well, my answer is going to sound kind of stupid because it kind of feels that way. But the people who give Jokic the most trouble are not the uber athletes. They are not the guys who sky for blocks and can
Chuck Hayes.
It's the Nikola Vucevic. It's the Jonas Valanciunas of the world. Guys who just take up real estate and that Jokic has a more difficult time moving, which is just not something you see every day.
Do we need to call back Jamal
McGlure? Yes. Like, that's the kind of thing. Like, do you remember Dwight Howard just like, literally swatted at him over and over again like a cat playing with a toy? That, like, that's so all that he did in that Lakers series, because the Nuggets and the Nikola Jokic, they had the most trouble when they couldn't carve out their own space. And I just don't think there's anybody on this Heat team who can do that. Like, we've seen Bam Adebayo, despite how great he is, not be able to just hold his own in a physical contest of strength with Nikola Jokic down low. It's just, and nobody can. Again, there's like three people who are big enough and strong enough to even hold their own in that space with them. So I think that's been, at least in my opinion, the kind of guy that gives Jokic the most trouble.
Chip my chat.
And also, I bet you they're all Eastern European, so he's just giving them a little bit extra. He's like, you know what?
Except for Dwight. Well, Dwight honorary.
Oh, God. No, he is Chad not.
Saying, wait a second. Chat saying, is that Omer Yurtseven's music?
Yes, it is. It's time to get Yurt.
Are we dusting off Yurt?
And that's why the Zeller conversations come up. Can we just get a guy to, like, throw their chest into Jokic's back as violently as they can?
Bro,
and again, it's not going to help.
Did you see that possession where they're defending, I think it's a Tatum or a Jaylen Brown, so one of the wings, and Rob Williams pick and roll. And it's Jimmy and Zeller in the action. And Jimmy, you know, so the screen does not get rejected. And I think Zeller thought the screen was going to get rejected. But he stands on the opposite side of where the play's happening, and it almost looks like he's sitting a stagger on the other side.
He's like flaring for his
bro,
for the opposite
team. What are you doing? I like Cody Zeller.
Again,
I
agree with you.
It's a cool world.
Like Mason Plumlee in practice did a damn good job defending Nikola just because he attacked him in terms of like, I'm just gonna put a body into you no matter how many fouls get drawn up.
I'm
like,
shocked that
those
Plumlee
are the kind of players.
Has not been a Heat player. I'm just shocked.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually.
It's
smart,
like,
strong, and tough. And
from
that's
Duke.
All they really have.
And from Duke.
And from Duke.
Well, now they've changed. It used to be Duke guys. Now it's Kentucky guys. I think Winslow was the last Justice. Shout out to Justice.
I still have a lot of love for Justice Winslow.
Oh, bro, we are the Justice Winslow Apologist podcast. We coined...
They should have just made him a point guard. You kept trying to make him.
We were saying
he's a point guard.
When Nikias was on Heat Beat, we were trying to make Justice just
yeah,
Nikias point
and
justice
I have
thing.
Always had our love for Nikias together. I are for Justice Winslow.
The
together.
Screen was, navigation yeah. at his size. I mean, yeah. Come on, man.
Oh, I'm with you.
I love that guy, man.
But also, I'm a sucker for big guards who handle the ball well and are smart and can't shoot a lick. I don't know why. I've always been this way, but that's my NBA
You know,
type.
He has – we were joking that in the last series, like, Bam had Winslow touch because Winslow had – we always used to joke that if you
dude,
like
– do you know what Winslow touch means in Denver? Because he had a pre-draft workout here, and because that draft workout was so bad, and media is not allowed to see most of pre-draft workouts in Denver anymore, he missed, like, 17 of 20 shots.
I believe it. I watched it live.
Like, yeah, it's infamous in like Denver media who were around back then when he was in the draft or in the pre-draft process. He was one of the worst touches that I've seen, other than like Deonta Davis.
We used to joke that if you were to combine Justice Winslow's brain with Hassan Whiteside's touch, you'd have like the best basketball player who ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we get Hassan Whiteside to defend? That's a guy who eats up real estate.
That's another one. But again, he's so jumpy that Jokic can do whatever he wants with him anyway. Like, you need different guys who are ground bound and can't jump out.
Kendrick Perkins.
He's never been in.
You remember
position
when they would
before,
get
so
Kendrick Perkins to like he was a Dwight stopper?
Yep. And he'd average 4 points and foul out in 12 minutes. Yeah.
He went around the league as a Dwight stopper because he went west when the Lakers got Dwight.
Yeah. And how did that work out? Well, it didn't work out great for the Lakers, but it wasn't exactly like Kendrick Perkins at all.
Did they make the finals with Perkins? Was he
on
that
final team? They did, but he drug along.
He was just there for the ride.
He was just there for the ride.
He was just there for the ride. TJ, I'd ask you for your pick. I think you already said you have Denver in six and two games out of respect. You know, I think if Miami can somehow, some way take one on the road, come home for a 1-1 series, I think we'd all be happy.
And the one thing we didn't talk about as a battleground is whoever wins the turnover battle is going to have a very big edge in this game.
I think that's going to be, and that's why I talk so much about late help and early help. I mean, if you're Miami, your best defense, not even just to help your offense, because, you know, I think their offense is going to be mostly fine. We talked at length about that yesterday. But I just think that you have to find ways to take possessions away from Denver because they are so good on offense that the best way to stop it is to prevent it from ever starting.
Yep. You know? You can't crash the offensive glass to do it. Denver will beat you and transition the other way. And they have rebounders.
And Miami has not been a team that does that. And they defensive rebound pretty well. And I don't know about you. I did not see rebounding as a problem in the film, even though
I don't.
I think it's an evenly matched rebounding battle between the two teams.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Surprisingly.
I know.
Yeah, you know, the Heat are small, but they defensive rebound really well.
They gang rebound really well. It's typical Heat culture stuff. Like, they just attack, and they do a damn good job of it.
Tyler was one of their better rebounders, and kind of him being out, I thought, would affect them on that end a bit, because him and Lowry just fucking get in there, but, you know, they've been able to survive without him. Tyler may or may not be back game three, as Chris Haynes reported.
We'll see. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt.
We talked about this a little bit. Maybe we can veer into this. I just don't think he'll have much of a role if he's healthy. And I think he'll play like some spot minutes. He'll be like a relief pitcher for them where he could play a little bit of offense. And I think they can use a little bit of his handling. I think they'll try to manage having one of him or the other weaker. I really think the weak defenders on this. I don't think Max is a weak defender. I think he's like okay.
I don't either.
He's fine, and he has the size to make up for
it.
He's
a good team defender.
He's athletic. Yeah. He can get up. I think Duncan for sure. I think Tyler and I think Zeller and Love are the problems. And I think if you eliminate the centers from the rotation and you play Highsmith, I think you can sneak either one of Tyler or Duncan in lineups without Max, and I think you can survive enough for stretches, you know, like, you know, obviously, like, I don't think Tyler's going to come back parachute out of the sky and play 35 minutes in the finals. I think it's going to
be
like
static.
It's going to be like, hey, can you give us 10 minutes, 7 minutes? Can you give us a little bit of ball handling if Kyle and Gabe are in foul trouble, or if Gabe's ankle swelling, you know, stuff like that.
I can't wait to watch the series. I just can't wait to see the chess battle, because this is two of the best coaches in basketball, and it's two of the it's two schematic moves that we're not going to know that are coming. I can't wait to see what they come up with. I can't wait to see the counter punches in the chess match. That's going to be the most fun in the series, in my opinion.
I'm excited. I mean, it's a Hooper series.
Yeah. This is
real nerds
love this series.
This is like the Dunker Spot special. Nikias and Steve were excited. You and me are excited.
Man, shout out Steve, by the way. Nikias deserves every flower that he's gotten, but Steve does.
Steve
damn
is
good
steady.
Work over there,
Steve
man.
Is like Steve. Steve is the Mikhail Bridges. No, that's insulting. That's who's better than Mikhail Bridges. He's like Nikias gets all the stardom, but who's like a guy who?
He's the Klay Thompson.
He's the Klay Thompson, dude.
He does it damn well.
You know, Nikias may be the host, but without Steve, there's no. Steve's hilarious.
Shout out to Steve, man.
Steve picked the Heat.
Really?
Picked the Heat in six.
That is incredible.
Nikias picked Denver in seven.
Yeah, I get that. I get knowing that the Nuggets are going to get tested in this one. This is going to be the hardest series the Nuggets have had all playoffs.
And that's what Michael Malone was saying. He's like, this isn't easy. This is going to be the hardest shit you've ever done in your life. That was Greg Popovich shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's a Pop.
Is he a Pop guy?
Pop called, I think it was Cleveland, to tell him, to tell them that Michael Malone's a damn good head coach and this guy's always in the gym doing his work. Like, hire this guy. And they didn't really know each other. And Pop helped Malone stay in this league as a coach.
That's awesome.
And they're very, very close. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I for sure. Has he won a Coach of the Year?
No, he hasn't even been close. I think he was third once, like 16-17.
I don't know if Spo's ever gotten a second place finish. I know he's gone third twice.
It's insane to me that Spo's never won. That is, like, I think Malone's a damn good head coach.
I think Spo, the love affair with Monty Williams was ridiculous over Spo that year. They were the one seed. And I think the year, to be honest with you, the year that he went 30-11 to close the season with Deion Waiters and James Johnson. I think
Deion Waiters, man.
Dude,
I love
Deion was pulling up from the logo and beating the 72 in Warriors. 73 in Warriors. Come on, man.
I love it.
Thank you, TJ, so much. Hire this man. Mm-hmm. As you know, he knows a lot about it. Chat hates you, though. My chat.
That's okay. That's okay.
They say they are. Mo Samba said Denver really needs some humbling. They're riding high. They sent the Marcus Camby meme. Too much Denver hype.
You can't use the Marcus Camby meme against the Nuggets. That's not how this works.
Oh, that's how it rolls, baby. Shout out to Heat Twitter. Shout out to Heat Nation. Shout out to TJ McBride, man. It's a pleasure talking to you. Hope to have you on again. Hope it's a fun series and we have more to talk about. Where can people find you on Twitter so that they can hire you to cover basketball?
Yes, come find me at TJ McBride NBA. You can find my email in there. My DMs are open. Come give me money to cover hoops. What I do, it's what I'm best at, and I want to keep doing it. I'm ready to go.
Find me at GNavis103, making excuses for Kyle Lowry and making fun of Joel Embiid. We will see you tomorrow for pregaming at 8 p.m. right here on twitch.tv/MiamiHeatBeat. Check us out, our pregame show, myself, Frankie G, and Coach Lou breakdown the series on our pregame show. And then, of course, after every Heat game, we have the Hangover Time postgame show hosted by Alf, Tiff, Brass, and the crew. Make sure to check out all the offerings over there. And, of course, our pods on off nights. Check out all that stuff, our game day coverage. Back in the NBA Finals, 10 years of Miami Heat beat, and we get to cover the finals again. I am so blessed and honored. Thank you to our audience and our guests, and we'll see you 8 p.m.
Love you, chat.